2 Peter chapter 3. I'm trying something a little bit different today. 2 Peter chapter 3. How many of you, just real quick, do tend to make New Year's resolutions? A few of you? Boy, less and less every year. So I'm not going to ask you to participate in this because it would take too much time. But it'd be interesting to hear how many of you used to make New Year's resolutions and how many don't make them anymore. Let me ask you this. Listen carefully. You ready? How many of you think that you still have room to grow to become more like Jesus Christ? All right, now that's every hand. That's good for you. Because, you know, have you ever seen a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for that person, says the proverb. So there's hope for us because we're not wise in our own eyes. We know that there is room for us to grow to become more like Jesus Christ. So to that end, this morning on the last Sunday of 2023, we are going to look at Christ's command to all Christians in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Now, 2 Peter is the last letter of the Apostle Peter to the church, and verse 18 records the last written words we have of this apostle who at one time, as you know, denied Jesus Christ three times. And yet Jesus Christ, in his grace, restored him, and Peter went on to not deny Christ, but to die for Christ. Incredible growth. From that time when he denied Christ until he died for Christ, the growth was exponential over those years. Well, we want to grow in the same way. And here, Christ calls us to grow and keep on growing for our own good, for the good of everyone else around us, and for the glory of Christ. Our text is 2 Peter 3:18. Title of the message this morning is More Mature in 24. Coming up on 2024. More mature in 24. That is my New Year's resolution. I'm sharing it with you. My hope and prayer and my endeavor is that I will be more mature as a pastor, as a man of God, as a husband, as a father, as a preacher by the end of 24 than what I'm starting out. And I hope that you'll join me in a similar New Year's resolution. But you will see here that God's desire for all of us is that we would grow. 2 Peter 3:18, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Which means, may it be. The topic here is very obvious. The topic is continual spiritual growth. And the truth here is that Christ commands all Christians to be constantly growing. There is never a time in your life, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, when you should not be pursuing growth. So, by the way, Happy New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's Eve, last day of 2023, start of 2024. There's really, I think, no better time to look at your life and to consider the days ahead than at the end of the year. I mean, it's fitting. Most everyone else is doing that anyway. In the world, most people are looking back over 2023. They're looking at news items and top hits and worst news stories and so forth. And they're looking forward to 2024. So it's a great thing to talk about with your atheist neighbor, which I did. It's a great thing to be talking about with your neighbors. People's minds are on that. Your minds ought to be on that as a Christian. It is a great time to reflect and think, where could I grow? How could I do better in the year ahead? So, to that end that we would all grow, let's look at this. God is giving a command to grow and keep on growing. See the word grow in verse 18, but grow. That is a present tense imperative verb. What does that mean? Well, what that means is it's a command, not an option. This is not something optional. This is not something where you can say, I think I'm not going to. No, if you are not going to grow, you're in disobedience. You don't want to do that. But it's also a present tense imperative. It means grow and keep on growing. A good paraphrase would be this. But you who are followers of Jesus Christ, because that's who it's to, grow and keep on continually growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is one aspect of God's will for your life. But it does raise a couple of questions, and we're going to answer them this morning. Question number one, well, what exactly does it mean to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What exactly does that mean? It's not crystal clear. Second, why is this so important that God commands it, that Peter wrote this as his final command to all Christians? Why is it so important? And third, maybe most importantly, how do you do it? How do you do this? And by the way, understand that God commands this again and again and again throughout Scripture. It's not just here. How many of you ever heard this, the phrase, excel still more? Everyone who was here a few years ago and went through 1 Thessalonians, what's God commanding there? That you would grow, excel still more. How many of you have ever heard the command, pursue holiness? That's a command of Scripture. That's a command to grow. And then, of course, there are commands like pursue righteousness and faith. So 1 Thess 4:1, 1 Thess 4:10, 1 Timothy 6:11, 2 Timothy 2:22, Hebrews 12:14, and 2 Peter 3:18, all of these are commands of God to all Christians everywhere to grow and keep on growing. So first, what does this mean exactly to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, the word grow is an agricultural term. It's used in Scripture of flowers and trees. So for example, in Matthew 6:28, the same word is used of flowers. When Jesus said, "Behold the lilies of the field and how they grow and keep on growing." It's a word for growing from small little seedling, small little oakling, to full-grown mature tree or plant or flower. The word refers to maturity. Okay? So, and actually in Matthew 6:28 where Jesus says that, in that text, it's talking about flowers growing to maturity over time until they are fulfilling God's purpose. In that case, behold how the lilies of the field grow until they cover the field with their beauty. In Matthew 13:32, the same word is used of a tree. Remember how many remember the parable of the mustard seed? Remember that? Starts out as this tiny, tiny little seed. But in Matthew 13:32, it says that tree grows and grows and grows until it has full maturity so that the birds can come and make nests in its branches. But most importantly, the same word here, oxano, grow and keep growing until you are fully mature, it's used of Jesus. In Luke 2:40 and in Luke 2:52, it's used of Jesus Christ who kept on growing and increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So what does this mean exactly? Well, grow means keep on growing over time to full maturity. Do we ever attain perfect Christ-like maturity in this life? No, we do not. Even the Apostle Paul said, "I do not consider myself as having already attained, but I blank blank press on." I press on. That's what this is calling us to do, to press on. But here, we're commanded to grow and keep on growing in two very specific areas of life. What's the first one? You see it there? But grow in grace. It actually does read that way in the original. It says, but grow in grace. It doesn't say in the grace. It says, but grow in grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor, undeserved kindness, undeserved love and compassion and forgiveness and long-suffering. All of that is undeserved. Quick show of hands. How many of you have been shown the grace of Jesus Christ? Yeah. We have been shown unmerited favor by Christ. How so? Lived a perfect life. Fulfilled the law of God on our behalf, which we could never fulfill. Sacrificed his life willingly on the cross as a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. Preached and taught and showed an example. Rose up from the dead, showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Ascended back into heaven at the right hand of God the Father, where right now, what is he doing? Interceding. He's praying for us. Do we deserve that? No. All of that is grace. So, here, however, It says, but grow in grace could mean one of two things. It could mean, but grow in your understanding of all of Christ's grace toward you. Or it could mean, but keep on growing in your showing of that grace to others. So trick question, you ready? Does it mean grow in your knowledge of grace or grow in your showing of grace to others? Yes, good answer. I figured you'd get it. Yes, both of those things. Grow and keep on growing in your understanding of all the incredible unmerited kindness that Christ has shown, is showing, and will show to you. But at the same time, grow and keep on growing in your showing of that grace to other people. One commentator puts it this way. Grace and growing in grace is growing in the practical demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit. I like that. Because now you can think through and say, you know, am I as loving towards others as I ever could be? Probably not. Am I as joyful in Christ as I ever could be? Love, joy, peace, patience. Is it possible for me to show more long-suffering towards my neighbor, towards my spouse, towards my family? Yeah, there's room for all of us to grow in all of those areas. So this is a command, grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you did that in 24, if in the next year, between now and next December 31st, if you could grow in the way that you show grace toward those around you, do you think that would do any good? Yeah. It would do you good. It would certainly be good for your marriage and your family and your community and your job and your boss and your coworkers. So we'll get to that in a second. But second, what's the second area in which we are all to keep on growing to full maturity? Knowledge, right? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So now that I gave you one trick question and you answered it correctly, here comes the second one. Do you think that means, A, letter A, grow in your knowledge of who Christ is and what he's like grow in your understanding of all his attributes, or B, grow in your knowledge of all that Christ has done, is doing, and is going to do, or C, grow in your knowledge of all that Jesus Christ teaches? Yes, all of the above. D, all of the above. Correct answer. That is what it means here. Right, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ means keep on continually growing to full maturity in your understanding of who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, what he's like, what he's done for us, what he's doing, what he's going to do, and what he teaches. If you did that, do you think that would do you any good? Yeah. Would that be good for your marriage? Family? Relationships? Yes. Which leads us to question number two. Question number two, why does God even command this? I'll give you the short answer and then we'll look at it. He does this for our own good. He does this for the good of those around us. He does this for the good of the gospel and for the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's for our own good and for the good of those around us. Think, first of all, about how good this is. Look at the first word in verse 18. It says, but grow. Pastor Dan began us off with that, right? Contrast. There is a sharp contrast here. It leads us to look back to verse 17. So take a look at verse 17. It says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand. Stop there. Knowing this beforehand is one word in the Greek, prognosko, from which we get prognosis. Prognosticator. This is a big time for prognosticators. End of the year, right? People giving their predictions for 2024. Well, here, the prognosis is what? So we have to look back. It says, you therefore, beloved, having this prognosis, what is it? Well, look back at verse 16 now, and you're going to see the prognosis. It says, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, having this prognosis. Here's the prognosis. You ready? The prognosis is that untaught and unstable people are going to distort the scriptures to their own destruction. Think that's true? Yes, it's true. in 2024, by the way, see the word untaught does not mean that they were not taught. It means the word literally, amathēs, is non-learners. People who, in spite of all they ever were taught, they didn't learn it. Didn't get in there. Hard as you may have tried, this is a word for people who, regardless of all that they've been taught, they just didn't learn. And therefore, since they didn't learn the truth, they've gone astray into error. The prognosis is that non-learners who are going to be unstable, meaning they're easily caught up in error, they are going to twist the scriptures and they're going to try to get you to believe their error. How do such people propagate their error today? Every way they can. Social media, personal conversations, right? How many of you have unsaved loved ones? Okay? Our unsaved loved ones, by and large, are caught up in error, and many of them will try to propagate their error to you. They're going to come to you and they're going to try to get you to leave your silly belief in this Jesus from long ago and get you to come around to see that things aren't the way that you see them. They're going to try to get you to fall from your own steadfastness. So look at verse 17 again. You therefore, beloved, knowing this in advance, having this prognosis, you need to be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. What could I do? Instead, grow. Grow is a guard against falling away. Growing is a guard against error. It's a guard against you getting caught up in every wind of doctrine and the way of this world. One commentator says this: continued progress in the faith is the greatest protection against the peril of false teachers. So it's good for you, but it's also good for everyone around you. Right? It's good for your marriage. If you could grow this year in your love for Christ, in your showing of grace to other people, in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and the gospel, it's going to be good for your marriage if you're married. If you're single, it's going to be good for your reputation. It'll make you more attractive to godly people, single ladies, single guys out there. You know what? If you want to attract a godly person, grow in godliness. Makes you more attractive. I've told my wife, who I think my wife is beautiful in every way, but I think she's especially beautiful in heart. And I've watched her grow over the years. You know, this year she taught the book of Zechariah, and there were years when I'd be like, honey, you should teach the Bible. No, it's not my calling. I don't have that gift. Not for me. Never, ever. Da-da-da-da-da. No, never say never. And this year she taught Zechariah, and I've watched her grow. Man, that's so attractive to me. And so you are single. Grow. It's good for you. Good for your beauty. Good for your kids if you grow. Good for your job. Good for your relations with your boss, co-workers. Think about your neighbors. Do you think your neighbors would benefit if you would grow up in maturity? I guarantee you they would. Your neighbors would be benefited. This is something you would do, not just for you, but for everyone else around you. So as I said, why does God command this? Because it's good for you. It's good for everyone around you. Do you think it's good for the gospel? If you're more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled, you know what? That's attractive to the world because not many people are that way. Some of you know I've been wrangling with my insurance company over a settlement, total loss settlement. How many of you have ever had a vehicle accident where the car was deemed by the insurance company to be a total loss? Who's had that? Oh, good. I'd like to talk to you all after class. Just kidding. Well, as you know, they give this settlement offer. And if you don't just readily accept it, but you're like, that's low, that's not right, good luck. Well, good luck. There's no such thing. Good praying. Good sovereignty. Best wishes. Because they don't like to budge. So I'm going to have yet another conversation this coming week. You can pray for me. I'm praying that I'm going to demonstrate love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and especially self-control. Especially self-control. I'm really praying hard that I'm going to be able to say, now look at page 3 and the comp, etc. Here's a promise I have. You know what? forget my promise. Here's a promise God has for you. If you will pursue growth in godliness, it will be good for everything. Where do I get that? Listen to this. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. But discipline yourself for godliness, because bodily discipline, most New Year's resolutions are in that category. Bodily exercise, I'm going to eat less, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to look better, better complexion, I'm going to get a whole new me. It profits a little. But godliness is profitable for everything. That's what the Bible says. Godliness is profitable for all things, all relationships, all encounters, all reactions, all interpersonal conflicts. Godliness is profitable for all things because it holds promise for this present life and also for the life that is to come. Why does God command you to grow and keep on growing to maturity like a flower or a tree in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because it's good for you. It's good for everyone around you. It's good for the gospel. It's good for everything. And notice the end of verse 18. It's good for the glory of Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. It is more to the glory of Jesus Christ if you will grow and keep growing in your maturity. So third question, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, what is it, children's answer, what is it that you can keep on feeding you that would cause you to grow and keep on growing all the way until you see your ultimate salvation ready? DJ, the Bible. Way to go, good answer. I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. There's actually something you must do before the Bible is going to take effect. Of course, you must believe. If you're not born again, if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, the Word of God is not going to do its work in you. I think it's 1 Thess 2:13, without looking, that the end of that verse says, and the Word of God which does its work in you who believe. So you got to have faith in Jesus Christ or the Word of God is going to bounce off, like bouncing off a brick wall. But if you have believed in Jesus Christ, I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. There's something you must do as a prerequisite. If you don't do this, forget it. Therefore, you with me? If you're with me, say amen. Great. Therefore, putting aside, laying aside like a filthy garment that you do not want to be wearing, putting aside all malice. What is that? It's the word for bad. It's so broad, and it's the broad word that introduces this list. Putting aside all bad attitudes, putting aside all bad feelings towards your neighbor, your spouse, your kids, putting aside all the bad. And then it's kind of listed out. And all deceit, that's all putting on airs, being deceitful, trying to hide your sin. You got to put that away. You cannot hide sin. Right? Laying aside, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy. What's that? Putting on a face, putting on an act like you're a Christian when in fact you're in sin. You got to put that aside. You got to quit that. Put that off. Putting aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy and envy. Someone said to me recently, envy is the killer of all close relations. That's very true. You know what? If I envy Dan and I say, you know, I don't like that Dan. He's taller than me. He's bigger than me. He's smarter than me. He's more spirit-led than me. And you know what? I don't like him because of that. You think I'm going to have a good, close relationship with Dan? If, on the other hand, I say, man, I sure do appreciate Dan, Pastor Dan. He's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. He's smarter than me. He's more self-controlled and spirit-led than me. And I hope that when I grow up, I'll become more like him. That's true. Think I want to have a good relationship with him? Yeah, because I'm going to become more like him over time. Right? So envy is killing any close relationship that you could have with someone who's better than you. Look, if I don't make butterscotch peach pie. Miss Betty Mahan made the best butterscotch. Who's ever had it? Butterscotch peach pie. Okay? If I tried making a pie and we all come together and somebody tasted mine and said, yeah, but have you tasted Betty's? One option is for me to go, who cares about Betty's pie? Another option is for me to go to Betty and say, what is your secret? That is the best butterscotch. Amen? Amen. That is the best butterscotch peach pie on the planet. And when you're gone, I want to be able to make it. By the way, if anyone has that recipe, we would like to have it. We went looking for it this year and couldn't find it. Don't become envious of those who are smarter, better, bigger, stronger than you. Get to know them. Learn from them. So you got to put aside, back to 1 Peter 2:1. Putting aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Now what? Verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by that you might grow and keep growing in regards to your salvation. There it is. What you need in order to grow is the word of God. But notice the command here is for you to long for the pure milk, which is spiritual truth, that comes out of the word of God. You should be longing for it right now as you listen to a sermon. You should be longing to get truth out of it. Here's some truth for you. God's will for your life is that you would grow and keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's another truth. If you were to do that, it would be good for you, good for your marriage, good for your family, good for your neighbors, good for your community, good for your job, good for your reputation, and good for all things. Here's another truth. The only way you're ever going to grow and keep on growing in spiritual maturity is if you'll put aside all that bad, your malice and your deceitfulness and your hypocrisy and your envy and your slander. You've got to put that aside. And if you will long for the pure milk that comes from God's word, just like a new baby longs for milk. How does a new baby long for milk? Urgently. Give me L-Y words. Urgently.
Noisily.
Noisily. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Desperately. Daily. Regularly. Insistently. Diligently. All those things apply here. You're being commanded by God. You're being taught by God that you need to be like a babe who wants milk when it comes to the Word of God. So how do you do that? Well, briefly, what are some things that you can do with the Word of God in order to get pure milk out of it? Can you read it? You can read it. Can you meditate on it? Yep. Can you memorize it? Yep. Can you hang out with people who are reading it, meditating it, memorizing it? Yes. Can you come to Sunday school? Oh, I heard a lot of yeses there. Uh-huh. You can come to Sunday school. You can come to church. You can come to small group, Bible study, men's breakfast, ladies' Bible study, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, one of the things that we elders are striving to do every year is provide opportunities for you to grow. And in those opportunities, we want the Word of God to be present. There's going to be a New Year's Eve potluck tonight. I have it on good authority that there's going to be a devotional. Why is there going to be a devotional at the New Year's Eve potluck? So that you might grow. Because that'd be good for you, I think, Brother Bruce. True?
Absolutely.
Brother Bruce is going to be leading the devotional tonight, opportunity for everyone that comes to grow. Here's a new one for this year. Shameless plug for ladies' Bible study and men's breakfast. In this new year, the men who come to men's breakfast and the ladies who come to ladies' Bible study are going to be going through some material called biblical leadership or becoming a biblical leader. Very good material. Honestly, I'd say it's the best I've ever seen. It's going to get you into the Word of God. There's a little bit of homework. It's not too tedious. I would encourage you, all you ladies, you should be saying, if you can come on a Thursday morning from 10 until 11:30, you should come. Men, if you can come on a Saturday morning from 7:30 to 9, the first one will be the third Saturday of January, and the man who wrote this material, named Rocky Wyatt, who lives out in Westcliff, will be with us, and he's going to talk to us about how he developed the material and how to get the most out of it, and then all year long at men's breakfast, we're going to do that. Why would we do that? So that you might grow, and so that we might grow too. So, I think we've answered what it means, I think we've answered why it's important, and I think we've answered how to do it. You've got to long for the pure truth that comes out of God's Word. Final question, real quickly. What difference would it make? I mean, what difference really can you show me in the Bible the difference that it would make if I would be in the Word of God, let's say daily, like with a daily Bible reading plan? I'll just tell you. Homework. Go home and read Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 to 20. Chapter 17, verses 18 to 20. If you read it, here's what you'll find. Daily time in the Word of God will produce wisdom, obedience, humility, integrity, and longevity. Wisdom, obedience, humility, integrity, and longevity. That is powerful results. And so I say, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. And so I say, as Peter says at the very end of his book, amen. May it be that you and I would be more mature in 24. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the encouragement that you give us to grow for our own good. And we pray, Father, that you would help us in it. I pray for everyone in this room right now who's here. I pray that all of us together would make this simple New Year's resolution to obey the command of Jesus in 2 Peter 3:18, that we might be more mature in 2024 for our own good, the good of everyone around us, the gospel, and your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.